there's no place like home for the holidays. And no matter how far away you roam, if you pine for the sunshine of a friendly gaze, for the holidays you can.
Welcome back to another episode of Horror for the Holidays, a Christmas horror movie podcast. I'm Jay Logsdon.
And it's me, Fruit Peaches.
Fruit Peaches, you're back.
I'm back again, this time for Krampus the Christmas Devil. Wait a minute. No, wait. There's all three movies from the same studio. This can't just be a sequel titled for absolutely no reason, could it, Jay?
It absolutely is.
Oh, no.
So if you enjoyed the characters like Vanessa and Alfie and Amy and Frau Perkta, I got some bad news. None of them will make an appearance in this episode. We're moving on. We're moving on to Mother Krampus 2, Sleigh Ride.
Ugh. Jay, why'd you do this to me?
It was the wheel.
You were like, there's going to be a Mother Krampus sequel, Jeff. Get excited. It's going to be great.
I don't know those were my exact words, but I'll believe you that I said
those
that.
Those were his exact words.
You know, I potentially what I might have said is, there's no way it can be worse than Mother Krampus. And we'll talk about that.
I was going to say, yeah, we'll talk about that. Well, what you should have said, Jay, is there's no way it could be worse than Krampus the Christmas Devil.
Well, I mean, it is not worse than Krampus the Christmas Devil. Let's get into it. Let's deck the halls. Mother Krampus 2, Sleigh Ride. Released November 6th, 2018. Perfect. Great. No notes.
Yes.
Written and directed by Eddie Langyell, who also wrote and directed St. Patrick's Day, The Slua Awakens, which I think we should add to our St. Patrick's Day
list.
We're
going to have to add that, obviously.
After we finish up with Maniac Cop 3 this year. And I know you want to do some Leprechaun, so we'll probably do some Leprechaun.
We got to do some Leprechaun, Jay. Me gold has been missing a long time.
Also written by Roger Connors and Chris Smith. Roger was in St. Patrick's Day, The Slua Awakens, but was also in Teacher Shortage, which is made by Troy Escamilla, the creator of Mrs. Claus. That's a very long walk for a very loose connection. Chris Smith is in a short called Dracula Sleeps in a Twin Bed, which just sounds delightful. I know nothing about it. Sounds great, though.
All right, let's address the elephant in the room, Jay. This movie has nothing to do with the original Mother Krampus other than being distributed by the same studio.
You're absolutely right. according to Matt Dupay in A Scary Little Christmas, basically they just wanted to jump on the name Krampus.
Also, before being approached by the studio to pick this up, the budget for this movie was $2,000, Jay.
I saw Matt, so that was IMDb. Matt reported it as $500.
Yes. But the studio, basically when they bought it, they gave them, I think they said, another $5,000 to finish, like, post-production stuff. But anyway you slice it, it's probably under $10,000 in this movie.
Robbie Barnes, who plays Candace, we will see again in Krampus, The Devil Returns, a.k.a. Krampus the Christmas Devil 2.
Oh.
I know you're excited.
Oh, yeah. Yay.
Rachel Anderson, who plays Paula, is in a movie in production currently called You Better Watch Out, which appears to be about a Christmas dinner possession. So that sounds fun.
That does sound interesting. I'll give you that.
Kayla McDonald, who is Harley, is in a short called Season's Greetings. And DJ Remark, who plays Santa in that one very short scene, is a director of a short called You Better Watch Out, which has nothing to do with the Better Watch Out I just mentioned.
It doesn't have anything to do with the Better Watch Out that we know of. There's an alternate title for I can't remember.
Nope. It's not Safe Neighborhood. It's not Christmas Evil. It's its own thing, and the skeletons are part of it.
Okay, Jay.
Ron George, who does the makeup and effects for this movie and a lot of other movies, is Lawnmower Man in this movie, and is in Krampus 4 Origin Story, which I believe I've seen Rusty Bells on Instagram mention before. That's the only thing I know about Krampus 4 Origin Story.
You haven't watched the Krampus Quadrilogy, Jay?
It might even be more than that.
Quintilogy now?
I also don't know who Lawnmower Man is in this movie. I can't picture someone mowing a lawn. I mean, who knows?
Maybe like out a window, but I mean, it's supposed to be at Christmas time, so it'd be odd to be mowing your lawn, but I suppose.
Yeah, I don't know. alternate titles, Lady Krampus, which once again, try to jump on that Krampus name recognition. And Naughty List was the original title, which is a way better name.
Yes, Naughty List would have actually made this movie make sense. Because I was waiting the entire time for Mother Krampus to show up, Jay.
Jeff was like, when is Frau Perkta going to get here?
Exactly. I've been waiting for Fru Peaches forever. None of these people even have British accents, Jay.
When is Fuzzy Pickles going to arrive?
Exactly.
budget, like we said, talked about. Matt Dupay said $500. And then, yeah, there's either $2,000 or $10,000 listed on IMDb.
I was going to say... basically, there was an interview with one of the studio people, and they were like, we acquired it or whatever. At that point, the budget was under $2,000, and then they gave them money to finish post-production, which, depending on which source you look up, they gave them as little as $1,000 or as much as $5,000. But like I said, either way, it was under $10,000, which is impressive to pull off a movie for that.
Filmed in Cleveland, Ohio.
Ugh, gross.
I mean, I know you constantly rail against Canada and England, but this might be the worst place we've had a movie filmed in.
Yeah, minus 1 point off its score automatically, Jay, for being in Ohio.
Where to watch all the free places, Tubi.
Yeah. I mean, it's uploaded like 15 times in its entirety on YouTube as well.
Yeah.
You just want to watch it on there.
Yeah, you can pretty much grab it anywhere.
It's crazy, Jay, but ITV doesn't seem to be fighting anybody for the copyright for this thing.
Wild. Wild. Oh, what a wild decision. Personal experience. I mean, I think for both of us, it's...
anticipating it after I watched Mother Krampus 1.
Yeah.
And then realizing it had nothing to do with it.
Oh, also, you can buy a DVD copy.
Yes.
Which I own.
Yeah, of course Jay owns it.
Did I get it? Looks like a Jay's CD and Hobby thing.
That makes sense. Someone trying to discard it and get it out of their house.
They're like, I don't want this. And then I walked in. I went, oh, shit, Mother Krampus, too.
No, you know what? It was probably somebody like me who was like, oh, man, I love Mother Krampus. They made a second one. Then they got that.
Anything else, or you want to jump into our synopsis?
Let's get started.
We get kind of like generic-y Christmas bells playing. We are introduced as Eileen arrives at Monica's house with groceries and stuff. They talk about like getting ready for family Christmas dinner, blah blah blah. Monica then yells out the back door to her boyfriend slash husband Nico.
I guess it's hard to tell.
Chopping wood for some in the middle of the city for some reason.
Gotta keep that furnace going, Jay.
He kind of like, she's like, hey, can you come help with groceries? He's like, yeah, in a minute. And then he sparks up a bowl, smokes some pot. And then he hears a noise, so he goes to investigate it, and we see an image of our Mother Krampus character standing behind him in the background.
Oh, no.
And already...
this is when the alarm bells started going off in my head.
So I described it as... Like a leather face in Texas Chainsaw Massacre, like the Next Generation, like that kind of outfit. My wife was like, "It's Michael Myers with flesh tones and long hair," was how she described the mask.
Yeah, I could see both those.
And then also wearing like a hospital gown and a bathrobe.
Well, how else are you going to know she's an escaped mental patient, Jay, if she doesn't dress like that?
Jeff, we don't know that yet.
Oh, I'm sorry. Five minutes later.
He goes back. He kind of goes around, you know, doesn't find the noise he heard, finds his axe missing, and then he gets jumped by our assailant with his own axe. But some really good gore effects as he gets, like, chopped up.
Yeah, I mean, that is one thing I will give this movie. It has a pretty good... is this the spine-chopping scene?
I think that's a little later.
Or is that... I mean, I know
I think that's towards the end.
I know it's when she kills at this beginning sequence or whatever. But yeah, that scene really stood out to me.
No, this one does... what I did notice is after like cutting him to pieces with the axe, our assailant walks up and there is no blood dripping off the head of the axe.
Well, you know, Jay, you can't have everything.
Back inside, Monica goes to the attic to find Christmas decorations, but the killer walked in through the unlocked front door. That seems like an oversight to just leave your front door unlocked.
Safe neighborhood, Jay.
She goes upstairs. It's Cleveland. No, it's not. She goes upstairs to the attic and finds all the Christmas decorations plugged in, which, man, some kind of alarm bell's got to be going off. Either they leave their Christmas decorations plugged in the attic all year, which seems like a real waste of energy.
Yeah.
Or some villain had time to set up all the Christmas decorations in the attic.
Well, you know, Jay, we got to figure this out. Get at the bottom of this mystery.
She gets attacked with some ice skates, and oh my gosh, this might be my favorite gore effect in the whole movie. Like, gets her cheek cut, like, with the ice skate, and, like, you just see, like, the gnarly cheek, like wound and stuff like that, and then gets her throat slit with one of the ice skates. The assailant kind of goes downstairs, starts walking downstairs through this hallway, and finds, like, this woman in a wheelchair that we learn is named Martha, who is Monica's mom, and she's basically, like... bedridden or whatever. And so like the killer approaches and Martha starts ringing a bell for help, which alerts Eileen, who is in the kitchen making dinner and faintly hears the bell and then like hears the loud thud like on the floor as something happens over her music of What Child Is This playing on the radio. So she goes to investigate. She finds Martha all cut up, and then the killer approaches behind her with the axe. Title card as creepy instrumental,
Jay.
Title card as creepy instrumental Deck the Halls plays.
Spending too much time in Cleveland.
We are introduced to Victoria, our good girl, Gracie, our bad girl, Candace, our drug addict, and Athena, a drag queen, who are... doing community service, probation. This is their last day. Apparently, it's Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
Wild.
Sure, Jay, sure.
And they're helping a homeless shelter run by some combination of Paula, Noel, and Nancy. They seem to kind of be in charge of the shelter, the program. I think it is still daytime, but then we cut back to the house and it's dark again.
Yes, it is, Jay.
And the killer is still wandering around the house. But it is nighttime.
Yes.
We then cut back to Victoria, Athena, Gracie, and Candace, who are now at a bar, having skipped out on their probation. Candace runs into her ex-boyfriend, Donnie, who is a drug dealer with reportedly a giant hog, according to Candace. I mean, we don't see Donnie's hog, but all accounts, Donnie's got a huge hog.
Yep. Can't confirm, but heard rumors.
We cut back to the house to find that our killer is a rather severe-looking older woman wearing a Christmas vest. The girls arrive back at the homeless shelter. Noelle convinces a drunk Victoria, as well as Athena and Candace, to sing the first Noelle for the homeless. Come on. These people are homeless. Haven't they suffered enough? They don't need to be serenaded by drunk people.
Oh, come on, Jay. It wasn't that bad.
Then Athena starts a dance number with an awkward Santa and lyrics to a song that go, "Kiss me underneath the mistletoe because I'm feeling really naughty tonight," and "Jingle like that, girl," and "It's going to be a naughty Christmas."
Yep. This is the moment when I was watching it when I was like, I bet Jay's going to like these songs.
And this whole dance party breaks out at the homeless shelter, which then, like, I think Noelle goes and, like, shuts it all down, or maybe Nancy goes and shuts it all down. And then the very next scene, she's like, "All right, girls, I need you to go and deliver food to our, you know, parishioners who are stuck at home."
Yep.
As though she didn't just shut down this awesome dance party that was going on.
Yeah. Then The way that they shut that down and it just moves on reminded me of Anna and the Apocalypse.
We just get this brief. It also reminded me of a Bikini Bloodbath Christmas. A random thing happens, and then we just go back to like nothing happened at all.
It didn't happen. It's fine.
So the girls go out to deliver. Candace is not present because she's hooking up with Donnie in his car. For whatever reason, the girls go and poorly carol at some lady who's out walking her dog. And then they stop at the house that the killer is at. But it's like very clearly they're like singing Christmas carols. And there's this lady out walking her dog. And she just goes, thanks. And then she just keeps walking.
I love that lady.
might be one of the best characters in the whole movie. The killer, who we'll call Mrs. Smith, lets them into the house. Although was originally telling them to leave, which is honestly pretty dope of a killer to be like, you know what? No, I don't want you guys to be here. I don't want you guys to be here. And they're like, oh, we got to bring you this food. We got to do this. And she's like, all right, fine. Come in.
Fine. Like, you're fucking dead.
She tried to spare you guys. Mrs. Smith asks them to sing Silent Night and offers them hot cocoa. And when Athena says something, her attitude kind of changes and she gets like a little more mean. Gracie calls Candace and tells her to get there.
This is when Frau Perk just shows up, right, Jay?
Nope, not yet.
Okay, good.
Mrs. Smith keeps bringing up a naughty list, and the girls kind of talk about how they're doing this for their probation.
Boy, it's almost like the studio bought this movie, Jay, and changed the title, and now these references don't make any sense anymore.
The fact that naughty lists just keep getting brought up.
Yeah.
Probation was Victoria was trying to be a DD for a friend without a license, which I don't know, seems pretty bullshit.
I was like, gonna say, honestly, I think if that probably happened, they would probably let her off with a warning if she like went to appear in court.
I remember when I was doing my driving training, I was like, you know, someone asked, like, you know, because I think it was for the permit, mm-hmm. and they were like, what if XYZ, and like the guy was like, you'd be fine. He's like, if you're, you know, you taking care of someone supersedes potentially getting a ticket.
Well, to say that's what they always told us in driver's ed is like, if it's a medical emergency if it's the difference between somebody driving drunk or whatever and you driving, you should drive.
Gracie is serving probation for theft, and Athena is serving probation for trying to suck a cop's dick for cocaine.
Which we both pointed out before we started recording that would never be prosecuted, by the way.
I'm like, what kind of magical fantasy world is this?
Exactly.
The girls agree to do some cleaning of the murder house. Mrs. Smith, for some reason, briefly traps Gracie in the attic.
Yeah, because, Jay, she's trying to... They already know she's the killer in her mind, and she's trying to throw him off the scent by saving her from being locked in the attic.
I was convinced. So she goes up there. I think Grace even says, like, somebody's up here.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, is there this a misdirect? Is, like, Mrs. Smith not the killer, and the killer is in the attic and is going to kill Gracie? No, Mrs. Smith is the killer.
Yep.
It's just that, you know, she just decided to trap Gracie in the attic for, like, 5 minutes.
That's right, Jay. Did it all for a reason. What that reason is, you will not be told.
Candace and Donnie, we're going to call them Candy. That's their couple name.
All right.
Arrive at the house, and Mrs. Smith offers them cocoa. Paula then shows up, the parole officer, and gives all the girls presents while Mrs. Smith stares at them in disgust.
Mm.
Paula and Victoria leave to get a gift for Mrs. Smith.
Fucking criminals.
And we get a shopping montage to like a rock version of Silent Night at the one store that must be open on Christmas.
You've been naughty, Jay. I'm going to stare at you disapprovingly.
Our couple of candy, Candace and Donnie, go upstairs to fuck.
Of course.
And Gracie accidentally gets soup spilled on her by Mrs. Smith. And then Athena just eats the soup calmly and snoops around the house.
Which, it's implied that the soup is poisoned.
Yeah, that'll come back.
She makes it, like, the way she's doing everything is very, very suspicious. And yet, they think nothing of it.
And it's just like this, like, brown liquid.
Yes, some brown. Here, Jay, here's my bowl of brown sludge. I know I've been acting super suspicious, but have a big bowl of this.
Here, Jeff, have some of my hot brown. After Donnie and Candace are done fucking, she goes to clean up, and he lays in bed, puts his ear pods in, and watches like generic Christmas cartoons, like you know, like Tex Avery, like but not owned by Warner Brothers.
He's got to rest that giant hog, Jay.
So he's laying there, like, not paying attention, and then gets stabbed in the neck by Mrs. Smith repeatedly. Candace gets out of the shower and discovers Donnie's mutilated body. Great, once again, great effects. Like, his, like, chin is hanging off of his, like, like the bones in his face. Like, looks great. Looks awesome. Mrs. Smith then pops up behind her, like, kind of stepping out of the shadows and axes her in the face.
And then this is when Mrs. Smith reveals that she's actually Frau Perchter, right, Jay?
No.
we'll keep waiting. Surely in Mother Krampus 2, Frau Perchter must be in here somewhere.
It's got to be coming, right? Athena goes to escape, but I think this is when it's implied that the soup is poisoned, and she just starts vomiting everywhere, and Mrs. Smith like slowly walks down the stairs towards her. Gracie discovers Athena tied to a wheelchair,
of course,
with Christmas lights wrapped around her, and gagged with a shattered, like, globe ornament.
I was wondering if that was supposed to be a reference to Black Christmas.
I think it might have been. And then she gets axed in the back. You and I have kind of said before, we really enjoy, like, the person restrained with Christmas lights. It's always a really cool look. Mrs. Smith then pushes Athena out of the room.
Of course, Jay.
Mrs. Smith puts her mask back on and confronts Athena, who is tied to the wheelchair with lights now in the basement, and is going to cut off Athena's dick with pruning shears when Paula and Victoria just arrive back at the house.
Of course, as you do.
Victoria and Paula are like, does it smell like smoke? Is something burning? And then, like, that gets avoided again for, like, the next 20 minutes, and then gets brought up again at the end of the movie.
And then you know what happens, Jay? It's revealed that she's actually on the naughty list herself, and Frau Perchter shows up and kills her for killing these innocent people.
You would think so, but no. They go searching, and they find Martha's body from the beginning of the movie. Apparently, it is now implied that maybe days went by because there's maggots crawling all over, like, her infected wounds and shit.
Yeah, that was kind of weird because it was like they make it seem like it just happened that morning or whatever. But yeah, it seems like she's been dead for days.
But then that just means that Mrs. Smith was just wandering through the house in her costume for hours.
Also, Jay, I'm not going to let this pass. Did you say Martha?
Oh.
Just like, why do you know that name?
Oh, man. What a movie. What a decision that was.
We'll get to that someday when I make Jay slog through the Snyderverse.
You and I were talking about doing some kind of like reward punishment thing. Yep. And I think it might be making, if I lose, it might be making me watch Snyder movies. Yep.
That would be pretty good.
Mrs. Smith appears and attacks Victoria and Paula. Victoria flees and Paula gets axed in the gut. Ooh. And we get some great entrails.
Yes.
Victoria runs to the attic, locking the door behind her. Mrs. Smith pounds on the door instead of using the axe that she has to cut it down. You know, they don't want to ruin their friend's house by chopping the door down.
You know, Jay, it's kind of like in all the every war movie ever, there'll be a ton of weapons laying around and somebody will go for the rock. It's like you pound on the door, even though you have an axe you could chop at it with.
Victoria finds Monica's body, so she moves further into the attic. Also, did I mention that the house is on fire? Because it doesn't get brought... It gets brought up again, but it only gets brought up twice.
Do you smell burning, Jay?
That's pretty much it.
I don't smell it.
Victoria finds Gracie barely alive in the attic, and Gracie dies in her arms as Mrs. Smith approaches behind her.
And as Gracie dies, Jay, she says one last final word, vengeance. And then Frau Perchter appears behind and kills the killer in an act of supreme vengeance.
Athena appears behind and bludgeons the killer with a tire iron repeatedly. Athena and Victoria go to flee, only for Mrs. Smith to wake up, grab Victoria by the leg, and Victoria stabs her through the eye with a Christmas ornament.
Also, I was like, what the fuck? Is that a rubber tire iron or what? If she got smacked that many times with a fucking tire iron, she'd be dead.
They make it out of the house, but somehow Mrs. Smith is still going and giving chase. She's about to attack them when a gunshot is heard, and there stands Noelle with a gun saying, "Merry Christmas, you crazy fucking bitch." Turns out Mrs. Smith was Dorothea Crimble, a woman who had escaped and burned down the local insane asylum. Noelle leaves to call for backup, and Victoria says, "Can't we just go home?" to Athena, just for Dorothea to be standing in front of them, bringing the axe down on them as we cut to black. Credits roll, end of movie.
You know, that would have been a cooler reveal if they hadn't had her dress like a textbook crazy person at the beginning.
Agreed. No, that was I was like, are they going to bring up that she's just wearing like hospital garments the whole time? Nope. Okay. They do at the end. All right. But then where'd she get the mask from?
Exactly. That's exactly what I was trying to figure out the entire movie. I'm like, okay, so clearly she escaped from somewhere because she's in a hospital gown. How did she get clothes? How did she get the mask? How did she know to find her way here? Why this place specifically?
Then I had a thought, too, where I was like, okay, so the mask is there to simply for the eye gouging scene, right?
Pretty much,
so you can hide the stabbing the eye with the Christmas ornament. So, like, okay, that's why the mask is there. But she doesn't wear the mask to commit all the murders. She only wears the mask to commit some of the murders.
Right, which would defeat the purpose of wearing a mask in the first place.
Yep. Like, because I was like, oh, you know, maybe if she's some deranged killer, like, the mask is the personality that kills. And the non-masked is, like, supposed to be, you know, supposed to be, like, the Bruce Wayne to the Batman or whatever.
You would think that, Jay, but no. Yeah, nothing. Oh, and you forgot to tell him about the end credit scene, Jay. After it fades to black, after the axe chop at the end, Frau Perkta appears in a creepy old cave over her witch's cauldron, and she can see what's happening in the cauldron. She's like, "Yes, vengeance.
It all is going to plan." No, none of that happens.
No, she doesn't say it's all going to plan, Jay. She finally gets up off her Frau Perkta throne, and she's like, "Fine, I'll do it myself."
None of that happens.
No, none of that happens. This fucking movie's got nothing to do with Fru Peaches, Jay.
I know, you were so disappointed.
I know. I really was, too. I was like, you know, this is an okay movie, but I really wanted more Fru Peaches.
Well, do you want to move on to our categories?
I suppose.
Where do you want to start?
Let's talk about the Christmas spirit. Because this is one of the things I have a small problem with in this movie.
All right, Christmas spirit. How Christmassy is the movie? How Christmassy are the kills?
The kills were pretty Christmassy, and including the being restrained by Christmas lights, like we talked about before.
Tons of axe kills.
Yes,
axe. The most Christmassy weapon.
Obviously. How else are you going to chop down your Christmas tree, Jay? My problem was, where are all the damn decorations? They could have decorated this house like... Especially since this is one of those, like, chamber movies or whatever, where it's primarily at one location. They could have gone, because Christmas decorations are not even expensive, especially if you go to, like, a garage sale or something like that. You could get a ton of lights and, like, figures and trees, everything. Decorate this house.
I agree. There's the Christmas tree in, like, the living room area. There's a Christmas tree in one of the bedrooms. I assume that was Martha's bedroom for some reason.
Yes, yeah.
And then otherwise, it's like the attic, like we said, fully decorated
for
Christmas.
That is like, you could have done some of that in the areas they're going to be in more so we could see the decorations more often.
Like, you know, you do get the great, like, you know, the lighting being the Christmas lights, and that's kind of the only thing lighting the scene. Always a great effect. Mm-hmm. You know, and you get the lights wrapped around Athena in the wheelchair. But yes, otherwise, like... No, there should be way more Christmas decorations in this house.
I mean, it's the perfect, because it's like, obviously this family was getting ready to celebrate Christmas, and it's like, you got the perfect excuse to show off tons of Christmas decorations, because the whole movie's going to be basically in this one place. I just thought it was kind of a missed opportunity.
Otherwise, snow on the ground, yeah. always delightful to see for a Christmas movie. I think, you know, we got to see the bar, I think, was like a little decorated for Christmas. A
little bit, yeah.
Shout out to Athena's like drag queen Santa outfit, which was great.
Yeah.
Not, you know, also probably going to mention that for our Christmas wrapping, because that's the best costume in the whole damn movie is Athena's outfit.
I was just, when I was going over it in my head, I was like, what could they have done that wouldn't have cost them a lot of money that would have upped the Christmas factor? And it was like, just decorate the house more.
Have everyone bring their Christmas decorations.
Yes.
Like, you know, because the implication was that it was, you know, Eric Langell and all of his friends, have them all bring all their Christmas decorations, decorate the whole fucking house.
Exactly. Wouldn't necessarily even needed to spend out any money on it.
Agreed. Also, but yeah, axe kill, most Christmassy weapon.
No, I had no problem with the Christmassy kills. It was more the decorations.
I just wish Mrs. Smith, she was wearing the wearing that Christmas like vest sweater like for parts of the movie. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I would have loved if like the monster monster outfit or whatever the long haired Michael Myers slash Leatherface from Texas Chainsaw Massacre: The Next Generation. I wish like that had been more Christmassy. I wish they had incorporated a Santa hat into that in some way or something.
No, I agree.
Do you want to do Christmas Carol favorite quotes?
Sure, Jay. Why don't you go ahead?
All right. Let's start at the end. Merry fucking Christmas, you crazy old bitch. Noel.
I had that one.
I have, Mrs. Smith. So, if you don't mind me asking, tell me what you did to get in trouble. Athena. Oh, I got in trouble for sucking a cop's dick. For cocaine.
Yes, I have that one as well.
Followed by Mrs. Smith. Well, that would certainly get you on the naughty list. And then Athena, honey, I am the naughty list. stop it, Athena. This is a homeless shelter, not a drag show. Athena, we'll see about that.
I had that one as well. Seems like we picked up on the same things, even though we didn't watch this one together.
I mean, Athena was the star of the movie.
Oh, definitely.
There she is, right on time as usual. This is Gracie. And then Candace. Yeah, she's lame. Gracie, she's not lame. She's normal.
Crazy old lady locks him in the attic. She proceeds to try to break down the door. She's like, oh, the door was stuck.
And she's clearly, like, standing in front of it. The last one I have, and I only have this for the first line. Eileen, you better watch your step. That last one's a doozy. Monica, better lay off the eggnog. Eileen, I would say so. I just wanted to include that just because it's been a long time since I've heard someone say, that last step's a doozy.
That has been a long time.
Like that, you know, that was the thing we saw in like Looney Tunes all the time. I haven't heard that in years.
Would you mind coming in and helping me with these groceries? Let me just finish chopping these logs, all right? Okay, but hurry. We need a big, strong man in here. I'm like, what the fuck is... What are these people doing?
And then doesn't he, like, turn to himself? He's like, man, you're so whipped.
Yeah, will do. Yeah, he's like, will do, babe. And then he's like, man, you're so fucking whipped.
Shut up, Nico.
All right, here it is. That's not a whole lot of, there's not a whole lot of strawberries left, so just take one, okay? Yo, I know you're homeless and shit, but don't go getting greedy.
I think that was Candace.
Yeah.
Yeah, just yelling at the homeless people. Yes. Like just excellent treatment at this
point. Better not be taking too many strawberries, bitch. Beat your homeless ass.
I got a job to do, and that job is making sure that each of you homeless motherfuckers only gets one strawberry.
Oh, of all the bars, that douchebag had to come here.
Great reference.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, because Donnie was there. Yeah, Donnie is kind of Candace's ex-boyfriend, and he's there with a girl called Harley, and that's kind of where that starts up. We didn't really mention that, because it's not really important to the plot. Christmas wrapping, sets, costumes, effects, etc. Athena's drag Santa outfit, fantastic.
Yes.
Gore effects, top notch.
I agree. The mask, even though it seemed kind of pointless, was pretty serviceable.
Loved the house. It felt very kind of like old and creepy and claustrophobic. I think part of that was down to how well it was shot.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, just some excellent... Just like an excellent kind of creepy old house where you could see like a killer kind of patrolling the halls of.
With the low budget they had to work with, I think they did a really good job making it feel atmospheric. When they really could have done the Krampus the Christmas Devil route and just made it look like somebody was shooting it on a camcorder.
Yep. just lots of like shadows for no reason. Just, you know, we'll just mask the whole thing in shadows. That way you don't see how bad any of this looks.
See how bad it looks. Oh, and Jay, you know, 90% of our movie is going to be people sitting and talking at tables
and bunny hopping through the woods.
Oh my god.
I mean, tactically yes, walking.
I was going to say, yeah, that tactical walk they did. Jesus.
All right. Well, Broken Bull, Brilliant Bull, one thing you want to fix, one thing you want to praise.
Well, obviously, I think everybody can guess what I'm going to praise by now. The gore effects are, like, top-notch. This is... Oh, and one, I wanted to praise something else as well. So while I was looking through the facts for this movie on IMDb, Jay, apparently there is a slasher movie called Mary Had a Little Lamb, which is about Mary and her lamb, which is apparently a killer that protects her.
Oh, my gosh.
And people are saying it's actually pretty good, so I think we need to add that to our list.
Oh, yeah, we got to find a way to watch that.
But, yeah, that aside, gore effects, great. I talked about the spine chop, all the things. The skate chop Jay mentioned earlier looks great. The jaw hanging off looks amazing. Just, I love the attention to detail, especially knowing that they did not have a lot of money to work with. They really made sure that they made the core. Because, I mean, when you're coming to these movies, you're coming to it for the kills. And if they don't look convincing or they use crappy CGI blood like they did in Krampus the Christmas Devil, it really sticks out and you don't enjoy it at all, because it's like the whole reason I'm watching this movie is for the kills and they look fake and stupid.
It really felt like Eric Langille like called in like favors, or like it was like, yes, kind of a community made movie, and that really shows.
But yes, whoever did the makeup effects especially, I want to give a shout out, because that was a really great job. Like the shot where I don't think I've ever seen as good of a representation as like somebody getting chopped in the back and you being able to see like their spine than I did in this movie.
I know, it looked so good.
So maybe get that person a job in Hollywood for some of these movies.
I think the makeup guy has like 400 some makeup credits, including like some bigger named movies. Like, I mean, you know, it's debatable, but bad CGI alligator or whatever.
Oh yeah,
like that involved in that movie. So
okay, but yeah, no, definitely worth shouting that out. You want me to do my broken, or you want to do your brilliant?
I'll do my brilliant bulb. I had a feeling you were going to do gore, because that was kind of the standout thing. So my thought was the camera work, as I mentioned. There are so many fun and interesting shots in this movie. Long hallways, shot through doors, so it's kind of like the door kind of frames the scene. You know, kind of good use of like light and shadow, like especially with like the Christmas lights kind of being like used to light some scenes, or you know, Mrs. Smith watching from like the shadows, like you get a couple scenes like that. Just really well done in a lot of those scenes.
Honestly, the camera work in this kind of reminded me of the camera work in The Leech, like that kind of interesting level. Yeah. And I was like, yeah, this is, especially for a low budget production, it's like this took a lot of time and care to pull off. I agree. That is a worthy of a brilliant bulb.
Broken bulb, thing you would want to fix?
The thing I would want to fix is, why bother buying this movie and making it a Krampus Krampus cash grab, Jay, when it could have stood on its own as a pretty good slasher movie?
I would have preferred it to be named like Naughty List. Yes, yeah.
And I think, honestly, it suffered for that, because a lot of people see Mother Krampus 2 and they're like, well, I haven't even watched Mother Krampus 1, so why would I bother watching that? And if they do watch Mother Krampus 1 and they like it, they're going to watch this and be disappointed. Or they might watch Mother Krampus 1 and be like, this is fucking stupid, I'm not going to watch Mother Krampus 2.
Or they're going to watch this and be expecting, like, you know, Krampus-y kind of, yes, like powers, like the, you know, kind of supernatural abilities. And no, it's kind of a normal person.
Yes, it's a slasher. Which, I mean, it stretches the limits like every slasher does of what a human body can take and do. But, yes, it's still grounded in reality. As compared to Fru Peaches, Jay, who's literally a magical vengeance witch.
Who just constantly keeps popping up in scenes.
Literally is summoned like Bloody Mary in the mirror. But, yes, if you're... So that's the thing. I think it really was a bad decision. Which I know that the people who made the movie had no control over that. Because if they wanted to get it distributed and stuff, they had to give it to somebody.
Right.
But the choice to retitle it from Naughty List to Mother Krampus was just, it makes no sense.
My broken bulb is just how goofy the costume was. We've mentioned that before. Yeah, I mean, I just don't know. Like, why take it off and then put it back on at the end other than to be able to do the eye stab? Like I said, maybe do a thing where, like, all the kills are committed in costume, or at least wearing the mask. I don't know. I think the thing that was wild was, taking all of her clothes off to put the hospital stuff back on. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know, just put the mask on if, like, the mask is what makes you a killer or something.
I was watching this in my office, and Amber was over on her computer, and I literally turned to her when that mask popped up, and I'm like, Jay's not going to like that mask.
I sure didn't. If I had to pick a second thing, it would be how fake, like, the axe was. Like, it was very, it was very, like, bent at the end because it was made out of foam.
Yes, the foam / rubber axe, yeah. Yeah, I mean, you forget about it after a while because of how good the kills look, but yeah, you could tell it's not a real axe.
Yep. that was the only other, like, kind of big thing where I was like, ooh.
Yeah. But I mean, on the budget, you're going to expect some stuff like that.
Yeah. Well, final rating, Jeff. Every episode of Horror for the Holidays, we rate our movie on one of three categories. Is it ho-ho-hilarious? Is it seasonally scary? Or is it you'll be sorry?
You'll be sorry. No Frau Peaches. Dead. No. I rated this one a ho-ho-hilarious. I didn't think it was quite good enough to be a seasonally scary, but there are definitely redeeming factors to this movie, and as long as you're not expecting an actual sequel to Mother Krampus, I think you would enjoy this one. It's a pretty standard slasher movie, but the kills, like we said, are well done, and the story is not terribly complicated. It's kind of one of those movies where you can kind of turn your brain off and just enjoy people getting chopped up.
I completely agree with you. Ho, ho, hilarious. I was going to do some kind of Steiner math kind of thing because I was like, the first line of my thing is not all movies. And I was like, I was like, am I going to write Are Created Equal?
Yeah.
You look at Mother Krampus and you look at Mother Krampus 2 and you see that they're not the same.
And you see Mother Krampus and Mother Krampus 2 are facing me at Sacrifice, Jay. And you know who else is going to be there? Krampus the Christmas Devil, but he's not even going to try. So you're going to add his star power to my star power.
At best, you've got a 33 1/3 chance of winning, while I've got a 66 2/3 chance of winning.
A 66 2/3% chance of winning, Jay.
The numbers don't lie. They spell disaster for you at Sacrifice.
Krampus the Christmas Devil knows he can't beat me, so he's not even going to try.
But no, not all movies need to be clear the same bar to be successful.
Yes.
For $500 and the help of a lot of friends, Eddie Langell and the rest of the crew made a really well shot, awesomely gory, pretty well constructed movie with some genuine funny laugh lines. Mm-hmm. It's not all that well acted, and as I've said, the killer costume looks awful. You know, so the axe, you know, isn't great.
Yeah.
But with the actual budget, but if this movie were given an actual budget, I would love to see what they could have done. I honestly believe that if they had a budget, and actually, like, did something interesting with a lot of the same people involved, this could be a seasonally scary easy. This could be a Leech. Like, if they had just a bit more money, to actually, like, do stuff and, you know, get some actual actors, not, you know, friends and stuff like that from, like, the Cleveland movie scene. And, you know, and we would be screaming this movie's praises, you know, like we do The Leech, you know, every chance we get. Like I think it's one of those that's, like, this close to being a seasonally scary, to being one of, like, our favorite movies we've done. It just doesn't have the budget to get there.
Indeed. Yes. I believe if you gave the same crew a group of real actors and, yeah, like, maybe, like, I don't know, a $200,000-$300,000 budget for the movie, it could have been like a slasher classic.
And, like, you know, some of these people have consistently gotten work. I'm just, you know, just in this movie, they're not all the best actors. You know, maybe some of them were younger, some of them, you know.
Say, and I think it could just be, you know, a lot of them were probably volunteering their time, and obviously they're not going to take that as seriously as a job.
Yep. So, 'cause, yeah, there's some line deliveries where you're just like, you couldn't do a second take.
Yep.
Like,
not on this budget, Jay.
But, Jeff, have you stopped to think? Maybe we're wrong, and maybe we're getting clothes for Christmas.
Yeah, you know, Jay, I was thinking to myself, this movie, surely, people can't be that hard on this movie, Jay. I mean, it was obviously, I mean, you're not going to be able to judge it. You have to judge movies on a curve, like you were talking about. You know, you have to take into account the factors that went into making them. You can't just label something stupid and bad because it didn't have a big budget, right, Jay?
You absolutely can. One of the ones I found, I'm not going to read the whole review, but it's on IMDb. It's a 4 out of 10. The title is, "This was a step in the right direction from the first film, but still not good." So basically, Krampus 2 is a movie that I recently watched on Tubi, which, once again, Mother Krampus 2. The storyline follows a community center that includes many workers that are required to be there as part of their community service. Mm. On Christmas Eve, an unexpected guest arrives to determine who is naughty and whom was there for authentic reasons. The punishment for being naughty... This isn't even, like, the whole description of the movie. This is way off base. The punishment for being naughty is this will be their last day at the community center or in any place else alive. And then there's some description going on. The movie has a fun opening with a great axe kill and some great corresponding sound effects. The kills for this are a step above the original. However, I never like it when they have the monster slash demon inside of a human and the human is doing all of the killing for the viewer. It always feels a little bit of a cop-out. The acting, dialogue, and scenarios were about equal to the first one, not overly good. 4 out of 10, would recommend skipping. There's no implication that there's a demon living inside this lady. Like you and I said, maybe if they had addressed the elephant in the room, or, you know, done something where, like, the mask is where she does her killing or something like that. Mm. And, you know, there's two personalities. I think this person just didn't understand that this wasn't a sequel to Mother Krampus. And they're like, wait, why is Frau Perkta acting weird now? Yeah. Why is Frau Perkta infesting this lady?
Well, I got one for you, Jay. So that one was a 4 out of 10. This is a 1 out of 10. This movie sucks. Mother Krampus 2 Sleigh Ride drew me into seeing it with a cool poster slash cover, which I will say, it is reminiscent of the art style of the first movie. So obviously they ripped that off to make people pick this up. It's an intriguing, if not particularly original, premise, and as someone with a general appreciation for horror, I picked it up. That it was a low-budget movie, which for its frequent personal experience is rarely a good sign due to there being so many poorly made ones out there. I was apprehensive after I saw the low rating and poor reviews. It is sadly, however, yet another film that reiterates the exact same flaws of all other low-budget movies. It aspires to do more than it is able to pay for. A little awkward wording, yeah. But whatever. Mother Krampus 2 Sleigh Ride is terrible, with a plethora of enormous problems. Low-budget Krampus films never seem to fare well, and this is one of the worst examples. There's next to nothing to recommend about this movie. Let's start with the positive. The setting is atmospheric and spooky. That's it. Unfortunately, it is not done justice by the rather direct-to-video schlocky way it's shot and edited. The drab color palette and poor camera work makes it hard to appreciate.
What?
It was very clear that this film was made in a rush with no care or enthusiasm. In particular, the camera work was a nauseous assault on the eyes with its excessive amateurness.
What?
Yeah. I knew you'd like this one, Jay. Going on further to the negatives, the story feels paper-thin, disjointed, and overstretched, which, it can be at times.
Like I said, you know, $500 budget, you give this movie an actual budget and, like, a script doctor to kind of, you know, fix some of the plot holes and stuff like that, I think you get a better, you know, you get a better movie.
The movie feels vague, underexplained, and as the film progresses, it becomes duller, more predictable, more senseless. Too many characters are too sketchy and nowhere near enough. They're nowhere near enough traits to make them endeared to the watcher. They're annoying and illogical decision-making and behaviors frustrates you. The film feels bland and forgettable with no heart. The sound quality is very cheap, uses too loud build-ups and jump scares. It's best to not mention the uniformly lumbering histrionic acting that shows a huge indifference to the situation and what is going on, and the extreme awkward prolonged pauses that were not edited out.
Okay.
The dialogue is stilted and rambling with lots of cliches, lots of unintentional humor. I really feel like they wanted us to take this movie seriously, but it feels like a really bad spoof.
I think the humor was absolutely intentional.
And no depth whatsoever. The pace goes to a standstill very quickly and drags on forever with very little of worth going on. Useless padding. The movie never recovers from the opening scene. The minimal action wouldn't have mattered much if the character development was present or engaging. Instead, we learn nothing about the characters. Exposition is the sole method of learning anything, and things drag on so long I found myself getting sleepy. I found too many of the scares predictable. The plot was excessively obvious. Now they're just repeating themselves again. Let me see. There's no threat. The killer does not seem dangerous at all. Let's see. There's no chemistry between the characters. Overall, awful with no redeeming value apart from an element that is difficult to appreciate with it being so badly complimented by everything else. 1 out of 10.
Yikes. Well, I found one. I found a 1 out of 10. This is my last one. It felt very much like a friend of yours and mine who sometimes drinks and sends us messages.
Yes.
That ramble and don't make sense. This film is bad and has nothing to do with the first one. And why the hell, hell with one L, is the other Krampus mask Michael Myers, but M-Y-E-R-S, with a wig? So far, the love of God. But it's one word, S-O-F-O-R, the love of one word, L-O-V-E-O-F, God, and everything holy. Do not watch this film unless your Y-O-R, your, you are into bad films. Go ahead, one word.
Now that you mentioned it, Jay, I know exactly who you're talking about. All right, well, we did a 1 out of 10, so let's do a 2 out of 10.
All right.
Spoilers. This movie will get you on the naughty list. If you're really into the first Mother Krampus film, and I don't think anyone on Earth is, then you will be disappointed to discover this one has nothing to do with the first one. Two strippers, a crossdresser, and a fourth person on probation take meals to the elderly. One of the elderly has a naughty list. I'm still not sure how we get into Mother Krampus with any of this. I don't recall the first one well, but I suspect it was worse than this, perhaps? The film was rather boring, even with a couple of strippers and a shower scene. Some of the conversations had a little humor. So that's a 2 out of 10 review.
I mean, I agree with some of the things said. Yeah, like, at least some of the things I agree with.
He's charitable. Oh, you didn't read the title of the last review, Jay. I believe that was one word. Crap.
Yep.
I saw that one when I was looking for reviews earlier.
No, as I was reading it, I was like, I know who wrote this review.
All right. Now I'm going to finish us off with a 5 out of 10, which I think is probably around what I would give this movie.
Yeah.
An average. So 5 out of 10. I enjoyed this film. It was nothing special and not one I will probably watch again, but I didn't feel like I wasted my time. The only part that really bothered me was the homeless shelter. One of the fat girls looked more like she smeared her makeup on and not authentic at all. And everyone in the homeless shelter was wearing designer sunglasses.
What?
I've volunteered in soup kitchens all through my teen years, and the people you helped there look nothing like the ones in this. The fat girl takes the cake, though. I bet she does.
the thing that I caught on is, like, there's a couple homeless people who, like, clearly have, like, soot smeared on their faces. Look, yeah. there's some chimney sweeps straight out of Oliver Twist, eh?
Boy, yeah.
But then also there's just, like, children that don't look dirty at all. And then there's, like, the girls that just get up and join the dance party for no reason. And they, you know, yeah, they're all just, like, dressed normally. It's like a very weird dynamic in that homeless shelter.
And I'm just going to say this movie has a 3.2 out of 10 on IMDb, majority bad ratings. So I pulled a 3 out of 10, simply titled Nope. Nope, Jay. Nope. And this guy saw it like right after it came out, November 26, 2018.
Okay.
Not what I was expecting at all. Where's Frau Perkta? Thank you, my friend. Where is Frau Perkta? That's what I want to know. Anyway,
take that up with ITN distribution.
I struggle to find anything positive to say about this movie. There were some cute female characters, but even the sex scene was boring without nudity. Not scary or suspenseful. Don't waste your time.
That's a real Jeff review right there.
That's true. I was disappointed by the lack of a good sex scene in this.
No real nudity. You get Gracie walking around in her underwear. That's probably pretty much the closest you get. And that shower scene that's very heavily covered up.
I don't know, Jay. As I get older and the internet becomes more internet-y, it's just like nudity in movies doesn't even seem that necessary anymore.
Yeah, that's fair.
It's like you could look at a million girls online, so what's the point?
Well, Jeff, as you know, every episode of Horror for the Holidays, we like to take our villain and rank them against the villains that we've done for other Christmas horror movies. Where do you think Mrs. Smith goes on our naughty list?
Honestly, I think she could probably take Brooklyn Santa.
So, oh, yeah.
Above him. I don't know, though. Simon Phillips would kick her ass.
Oh, obviously. Yeah, absolutely.
4-act slashes would be enough for one Fruit Peaches.
I'm just trying to remember, like, what we have in between those characters. I think we have the kid from Better Watch Out. Do you think she can take the kid from Better Watch Out?
I mean, that would all depend on how he would get her. I think he probably could, because she doesn't seem like she would be like on guard against being tricked or trapped. So he could probably get her.
She might fall for his shit.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. It's like she could probably be tricked into thinking that he was like a nice little boy or whatever.
I'm good putting her there. I'm good.
I think she's probably below him. But yeah, above some of our weaker slashers like Santa Claus, CLAWS would probably get his ass kicked.
Oh, I think she dog walks Santa Claus.
The Nutcracker from Nutcracker Massacre. She'd just push him down the stairs and then pretend that the door was locked.
Yeah, the Nutcracker just wouldn't be able to get out the door. Yeah. She said the door was locked. I guess I have to stand here.
But yeah, I'd say she's solid middle of the pack on our human killers, I would say.
I think so. I think you had a good place, like, right in between Better Watch Out and Brooklyn Santa.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, Jeff, it's time to prepare for the spooktacular.
The spooktacular.
As we
the 2024 horror for the holidays, Halloween spooktacular, Jay.
Yep, as we like to do a little segment we like to call
Garbage Day.
Huh?
No.
Well, Jeff, as you know, for the spooktacular, we like to rate and review a bunch of new Halloween tricks and treats. I guess all treats. We don't do tricks.
No. Or do we?
But so I thought, you know, I thought, well, maybe we can find something else to do. And then I saw this at the store and I went, never mind. We're trying some food. We're eating some garbage.
Oh, boy. I was not expecting this.
Jeff, Coca-Cola flavored Oreos.
Have you had the Coca-Cola or the Oreo flavored Coke?
No, I couldn't find it.
It's at Walmart. It's okay. Good.
All right.
Let's find out. Yes, my wife pointed these out to me in the Quick Star cooler, because they're in front of the Coke in the Quick Star cooler, and I'm like, huh, probably gross. Let's find out.
Hey, Jeff, guess where I bought these? Quick Star.
Oh, boy. Did you leave another finger in the wood pile?
No, I'm all out of fingers right now.
Oh, they smell like Coke.
It smells like Coke. Black and red cookie. On the red side, there's a Coca-Cola. The black side is the regular Oreo logo.
I keep telling you, Jay, you're going to have to stop blowing cops for Coke or somebody's going to come after you.
But instantly, though, it smells like Coca-Cola. It smells like Coca-Cola and Oreo.
It tastes like Coca-Cola. How do they do that? I want to know. What sorcery is this?
The mad scientists at Oreo did it again.
They are. Something going on up there, Jay. I don't trust the Nabisco factory. Something is happening.
This is insane.
Literally just tastes like you're eating Coke in a cookie form. And it even looks like it's the Coke logo on the top cookie.
Oh, I didn't even... mine was like two Coke bottles.
Hmm. Oh, so they got different ones then.
Interesting.
Hmm. Maybe you got the rare variant. Yeah, because I have no Coke bottles.
Weird.
Hmm. But yeah.
I got Coca-Cola Classic.
Very good. So I've got New Age Coke and Coca-Cola Classic. So I guess collect them all, folks.
Oh, and here I ate the rare one.
Damn it, Jay.
I'm ruined.
The sandwich-heavy portfolio pays off for the savvy investor. I'm ruined.
I cannot believe it. It's not exactly Coke. I think it's more like a Coke, like icy or frosty or slurpy. Yeah. Like, it's a little bit more that flavor, but goddamn, it tastes like Coke.
It's so close. It's blowing my mind, Jay.
This and the Sour Patch Kids ones. Mm. You and I could not believe those tasted like Sour Patch Kids.
I don't understand. Some mad scientist at Nabisco.
They just can't keep getting away with it.
Somebody needs to stop them, Jay. What are they going to do next? Are they going to make an Oreo that tastes like... they're going to make a chocolate Oreo that tastes like vanilla Oreo?
They might. You know what they're going to do next? They're going to partner with our arch-rival Dude Dad.
Oh, no. fucking doodad Oreos. No.
If that happens, we're done with Oreo, Nabisco, yeah. You're on notice. If you partner with doodad, we're done.
Listen up, Nabisco. If you've seen a picture of me, you know that pissing me off is not a good idea. I consume a lot of your products.
I mean, I've already been to the store and people have been like, oh, pumpkin spice Twinkies. Oh, like spooky cupcakes. You're going to get those for the podcast? No, we're feuding. We're already hostesses on our shit list for introducing us to Dude Dad, our enemy.
Fucking Dude Dad. I'm coming for you, Dude Dad. Yep. I hope you know that.
One subscriber at a time. We're coming for you.
I'm going to show you how to deal with a contractor, Dude Dad. I'm going to send my horrible uncle to install your new plumbing at your new house. It's going to fucking wreck the place.
Yeah. All right. Well, anyway, if you want to get in touch with us, tell us what you think about Dude Dad, Mother Krampus 2. All the other shit we talked about on this episode, send us an email, horrortheholidays@gmail.com, or get in touch with us on social media. We are at horror4holidays, horror4holidays, at all the places.
YouTube.com/horrorfortheholidays. Press the subscribe button, ring the bell, leave us comments so we can talk. Oh, and Jay, I got a message for Dude Dad out there.
All right.
He knows that he can't beat us, Jay, so he's not even going to try. We got a 66 2/3% chance of winning when we fight Dude Dad at Sacrifice.
So you take our 66 2/3% chance of winning and add that to our 50% chance going in 1-on-1.
And then, of course, you know it's going to be a tag team match, Jay. And so you can tag me in. We'll add 27% extra for that. And then, of course, you got to put in the hostess factor. He's going to trip on a Twinkie from his sponsorship, Jay, and die.
And they spell disaster for him. At Sacrifice. The greatest promo of all time.
It is. I don't know. You can't even. There's some that come close, but it's still. I go back to that one all the time.
Oh, man.
And the YouTube video that actually does the math while he's saying
it's
it.
It's good.
It's amazing.
I don't even remember where we were.
We were wrapping up. We're plugging all our social media.
Yeah, leave us a review on your podcatcher of choice. Five stars. Subscribe. Let us know how bad the show is. Five-star review. We will only read your reviews if they are five stars.
Five stars. Jeff and Jay, stop talking about the food you're eating. We all know you're fat.
Jeff and Jay, stop chewing into the microphone. We're working on it.
There's only so much technology, okay? You know, Jay, I have a fund that helps men stop chewing into microphones, but you gotta give.
You gotta give. All right. Well, anyway.
The Spooktacular. It's starting soon. Yep. Very soon.
Yeah, we'll be doing, one last stocking stuffer, and then we will hit 5 straight weeks of Halloween movies.
Spooktacular. Are you talking about the 2024 Horror for the Holidays Halloween Spooktacular, Jay?
That one exactly.
Ah, good.
We're going to start probably with a Chris LaMartina movie. We haven't decided if it's going to be WNUF2. Yeah,
we don't know the order.
Or yet. If it's going to be What Happens Next Will Scare You. We'll let you know next week when we decide.
It's coming soon.
It basically comes down to, do we want to do it in universe chronological order, or do we want to do it in reality chronological order?
Mm.
So that's where the question is.
And I don't know how Jay feels about this, but I'm thinking maybe we might do a short bonus episode during the Spooktacular to tell you our thoughts on Terrifier 3.
We might be able to do that, because, yeah, that comes out in prime Christmas horror movie month, October 11th.
Ooh. A miss already.
Yeah. I got a text from Spencer, and he said something along the lines of, they filmed at like a college close to his house, but they kept it like completely under wraps. But that sorority house that you see that's all decorated for Christmas, he's like, yeah, that was apparently like right down the street from him or something like that.
Oh, awesome. Well, we'll see how it is in just a few short weeks.
Yep, oh, I'm excited. But anyway, also, we'll have to get our Art the Clown popcorn buckets. Our Sant Art the Clown. Anyway,
definitely.
Yeah, we'll see you next week with a stocking stuffer of some sort.
Oh, it's going to be big, Jay. I already got it all planned out.
All right, thanks for listening.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Jay Logsdon has left. Now we can record our true feelings and thoughts about this film. No Fruit Peaches, 0 out of 10, obviously. Really need Simon Phillips to come in and make this movie better. All right, well, that's all we have time for, folks.